Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
As you know, one of my areas of interest is the press and how the press is being allowed access to certain kinds of military information. With us is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. He's an entertainment writer. You did a column that was very explosive yesterday. At least I read it, Doug, and I thought it was very interesting. You said that as a gay man and as a gay journalist, and you are openly gay, correct?
I'm openly gay, Phil. I've spent part of my life, though, in the closet. So,
well, I know, and you use that as part of the reasons for saying that gay men and gay journalists are the better people for the military to tell their secrets to, if it were.
Well, I think that the press can be a dangerous component. They'll tell all the government is reporting, and they get it distorted. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I know that in a time of crisis, the gay journalist is really the best friend of a government trying to protect its soldiers or workers, either from overseas or domestic threat. The gay man and the gay journalist, and for that matter, the lesbian and the lesbian journalist. Let me ask you this, Phil. Let's have some fun. Why do you think we're better than straight men and straight journalists, or straight women and straight journalists?
I'm sorry.
Why do you think a gay man and a gay journalist, or a lesbian and a lesbian journalist, would be better than a straight man and a straight journalist, or a straight woman and a straight journalist?
Why would I think gay journalists,
gay and lesbian journalists,
gay and lesbian journalists, why are they better than straight journalists?
Right. Go ahead. Take a guess.
I don't know, man. I mean, I can't sit here and guess. I don't know. I wouldn't even want to begin it.
You don't even want to guess.
No, I don't know.
It's because, as gay men and gay journalists, or as lesbians and lesbian journalists, we know how to keep secrets. We know how to camouflage information. Living in a closet has been part of a lot of gay people's lives. I'm going to ask you something. Let's look at Ellen DeGeneres. How many millions of marriage proposals do you think she got in the mail until she came out? Did you know she was gay?
Did I know Ellen DeGeneres was gay?
That's right. Did you know Rock Hudson was gay? No. The answer to the question, you don't even have to answer.
Well, I mean,
no, you don't even have to answer it, because you didn't know Ellen DeGeneres was gay. You didn't know Rock Hudson was gay. You didn't know Anne Heche. You're not even going to try to tell me you knew Anne Heche was gay.
I kind of...
No, bull crap. You know full well you didn't know Anne Heche was gay.
No, I didn't know she was gay until she started... And I don't even think she is gay. What is she, bisexual or something, right?
Well, you didn't even know that, did you? You didn't know any of that. Because of the fact that they're gay and they know how to keep a secret. That's why the federal government, the military, the Pentagon, individuals in charge of the military in this country should only invest information with gay journalists, the gay man and a gay journalist, because the straights run their mouths all over the place. There isn't a secret that a straight journalist won't tell. There isn't. I mean, look at that guy. I can use...
Hold on. You're giving me a lot of stuff here, and I don't know what I think about it. You're saying that straight people can keep a secret.
You look at the lives of gay people, Phil. Nobody knew for sure they were gay until they came out and said so. And the reason for that is because they know how to keep a secret. Look at Liberace. Now, this is a guy...
Oh, wait a second. Liberace...
There's no way you knew he was gay until that it all came out of the...
Now, I'm not going to say that I knew, but...
What?
Well, there were certain, you know...
Don't go homophobic on me now.
I'm not going to go homophobic.
And how do you think you knew Liberace was gay?
Well, I didn't know that he was gay, but, you know...
What, there were some telltale signs?
Well, I mean, the cat's running around with the, you know...
With the what? Are you telling me there's some kind of overt sign that someone's gay and you know they're gay?
Short of actually
seeing them engaged in sexual contact. See, what you're doing, Phil, is you're doing something very dangerous. You are engaging in a stereotyping. You're telling me you thought Liberace was gay before it came out that he was gay. Is that it?
I had my suspicions.
Why? Because he wore all that wild stuff? Oh, I see. So the guy's mincing around the stage. You figure he's gay. There are a lot of guys that mince, and a lot of guys that sort of swish their way through life, and some of them are the most happily married men in the world, two women. Now, let's take Rock Hudson.
I admit that I didn't know Rock Hudson was gay, and I admit that I didn't know Ellen DeGeneres was gay, and I admit that I didn't have a clue about Anne Heche. And
now, let's take the straight guys. All they ever do is spill their guts. How about that Philip Hansen, that FBI guy? Straight. How about that Jeff Wigand, the guy that blew the whistle on the tobacco industry? Straight. And you, Phil, I've listened to your show. You're always giving away the endings of movies. Okay? So all these...
What about you? You came out and you said you were gay at that reporters meeting.
The only reason why a gay person comes out is because they are tired of their parents trying to set them up on dates. You get irritated. I finally had to tell my mother, will you lay off with the daughter of your friend down the street for Christ's sake? I'm gay. All right, Mom? I'm gay. And there's nothing you're ever going to do about it. Now, I would lay off setting up on the date thing, and we wouldn't do anything about that. But you look at straight people, they can't wait to run their mouth. First person to run his mouth about RuPaul was a straight guy. Nobody knew RuPaul was actually a man. And the first person to come out with that information was a straight guy. So you find out about things, it's generally common.
What do you mean nobody knew RuPaul was a man?
No one knew that RuPaul was actually a guy until a straight guy ran his mouth about it. I had that painful conversation with my mother 4 months ago. I said to her, Mom, quit trying to set me up with the chick down the street. I'm gay. You get it? Now, finally! I did that.
You sound really angry, man. You sound like you got some issues.
I got issues with this. The only journalist that the American military can trust right now is the gay man, the gay journalist. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, that was what your column was about.
You're damn right.
That's what your column was about yesterday. Doug Danger is with us. 1-800-449-8686. The only journalists that can be trusted with information from the military are gay journalists because they're used to keeping secrets. Well, are you finding fault with the way...
I'm finding fault with the way the straight journalists are working this, yeah. I think that they're blowing their lids, they're blowing the lid off. Any secrets that are being kept by the gay man and the gay journalist. Now, what I did is I was able to wire late last night after I got done putting the column to bed for the newspaper, I was able to wire the Pentagon to the attention of Ari Fleischer, who is the press secretary for the White House, and I have offered my services as a conduit or as a liaison between the Pentagon and the straight press. They can tell me everything, and I will dole out what I think the straight press can handle.
You volunteered for this?
I volunteered for this through our, I sent a cable to Ari Fleischer. And what I am proposing is I am a gay man and a gay journalist, and because I have experience in the journalistic field, the Pentagon can tell me everything they know, and then I'll decide what the American people get to hear. And I think that's the only way we can deal with all of this information leaking out.
Well, I got to tell you something, Doug. In other words, you'd be an information czar?
That is correct.
Well, I don't think it's fair that you're the guy. In other words, you get all the information from the Pentagon.
Yeah, that's right. I get the information, and then I'll go through it in my mind. I'll look at the flow charts. I'll see what they got. And then I'll say to them, okay, just step back, boys, and watch me go to work. I'll decide what people find out.
Well, you know, I know that we're at war, okay, and I know that the information has to be sort of parceled out a little bit, but it just, for some reason...
What? You don't like a gay guy being the one who gets to parcel out the information?
No, it isn't that you're gay. It's just that there is an actual information czar who would be responsible for what we find out and what we don't find out. And that's, in other words, you would be the guy talking to the press. I think it's unfair.
You think it's unfair? Do you think it's fair that the president has had to contend with these leaks?
No, I do not think that's fair, and I know that he's been very angry about that. But let me ask you, what qualifies you?
What qualifies me that as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've been able to keep secrets. That's number one. Number two, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've had to defend myself against the attacks of the straight world. So I know something about defense, and I know something about how to keep myself safe. And if I can keep myself safe, I think I can keep my country safe. And you know what? You're asking too many questions.
Well, wait a minute. I have a right to ask these questions.
No. You're bugging me. You're bugging me with too many questions, okay?
Why don't I even get to ask a question? Or is this the kind of information czar you want to be where we can't even
No, you are not entitled to ask questions that don't concern you. Now, go about your job, and this is what I'd say to the American people. Go about your jobs. Go about your lives. When something happens, we'll let you know. But just keep your nose out where it doesn't belong, because I'll tell you something, to quote Roman Polanski in the great film Chinatown, you know what happens to nosy fellas? Yes? No? You want to guess? Yes? No? All right, they lose their noses. And you know...
Yeah, the blade went up into Jack Nicholson's nose. I know. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger is an entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. He has volunteered himself as an information czar. He feels that as a gay man and as a gay journalist... He's better at keeping secrets than straight journalists, and there's too much information coming out of the Pentagon and too much information being leaked. at certain levels. The National Gay Journalists Conclave, of which Doug claims to be the president, has issued a press release saying that they are asking gay journalists, they're asking the government to only speak with gay journalists about America's defense, both military and domestic, because, quote, we are the only ones that can be trusted to keep our mouths shut, end quote. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
You know I'm gay.
Yes, I know you're gay.
And I looked at my mother, and she said to me for about the 500th time, and I had gritted my teeth, and I had gritted my teeth, and I literally would hang on to the side of the wall in the kitchen and hang on for dear life because I knew I was going to lose it. And she'd say, "Hey, Doug, let me set you up with so and so down the street. She's a beautiful girl." And I finally said to her one day, "I'm going to tell you this, and you better get it. I'm gay. I'm gay. And there's nothing you or my dead father can do about it."
Well, you don't have to go through your family angst with me. I understand that you're gay. Okay.
Well, that's just it. We have to put up with that irritation. The only reason why a gay person comes out, and I wouldn't have come out. I would have stayed in the closet. But she bugged me, and she wouldn't shut up about it. "Hey, let me set you up with my cousin. Let me set you up with my sister's cousin or her niece." And so, and I finally said, "Will you get off of my back with that?" Now, the National Gay Journalist Conclave, of which I'm an executive officer, we implore the president, only speak with gay journalists. Only speak with gay journalists.
Okay, hold on, Doug. I got to get to some calls, all right?
Only speak with gay journalists.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This is Camille on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just think that that's a retarded thing he just said. If you're gay or you're straight, that's not going to make a difference.
No,
whether
gay,
you can...
I'm used to being in the closet.
Yeah,
and
but
I never would have come
think...
out of the closet if my mother hadn't kept trying to set me up with her sister's niece.
I don't think that's going to make a difference whether you're going to hold a secret or not. And furthermore,
yeah,
who
does.
Are you?
Well, how do you know about
who
it?
Are you?
Well, who are you?
Decide?
Who are you to decide what I know as a gay man as a gay journalist? I'm
who
gay.
Are you to decide what we get to know? The government will tell us when we need to know.
No,
you know,
I need to tell you, because the straight journalists are running their big mouths, okay? The straight journalists are spilling every secret, every classified document, the A-bomb. We wouldn't know anything about it. We're not for straight journalists. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I can keep my mouth shut and not
well,
say anything.
How do I know that? I don't know you.
Because I explained it to you. I've been in the closet all these years.
I don't know you.
Let me ask you something. Did you know Rock Hudson was gay? No, you didn't. You want to know why? Because he kept his mouth shut. Did you know that Ellen DeGeneres was gay?
Yeah,
no,
well,
you
I've
didn't.
Heard all this
why?
Before,
because she kept
okay?
her mouth shut. Yeah, well, I wanted to make an impression.
Did you know that Liberace was gay? What makes you
gay? Did you know that Liberace was gay? I'm asking you a direct question.
I don't care about Liberace.
Did you know that Liberace was gay?
Yes, I knew he was gay. I knew he was gay.
How did you know?
Because he dressed like a freaking queen.
Oh, so the homophobe comes out.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sir, I would just like to know what makes you think the government will tell you, you said before, oh, they could tell me and I'll decide
right, I'll
what
decide.
To tell the American people. Who the hell are you?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Big deal.
Well,
I'm a white woman. Big deal.
A
Who
white
cares?
Woman? There's nothing on earth with a bigger, fatter, flapping mouth than a white woman.
We have to be tolerant now.
No,
tolerance
I'm saying,
is the watch
what
for.
We have to do is we've got to understand who our country is safe with and who our country may be at risk with. And I know, Camille, you love your country, but there's no way on earth that I would ever trust any secrets of this nation with you because you're a woman. You go to the hairdresser. What's that?
So now we're sexist?
I'm
to be saying that?
I'm just saying
you don't know anything
fact.
About me.
When you go to the
I don't know anything about you.
I'm a gay man and a gay
But I still don't
journalist.
Think.
I'm gay.
Who the hell are you to say that, oh, the government
you know
should
gay,
tell
right?
me what we need
that you're
to know
gay.
And I will decide.
So in other words, when you go to the hair salon, you don't talk. You just sit there quiet under the dryer.
Well, I don't go to the hair salon. I don't have much to talk about anyway regarding that. But the point is that
look,
are you
telling me
you?
When you have a secret, the first thing you don't do is get on the telephone with, like, a girlfriend? Hey, listen, Mary, I found all about how our, you know, the Rangers are going to move in Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're making stereotypes about women.
Stereotypes? Look, all I've...
Don't make fun.
Well, that's what you're saying. That's what you're insinuating.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, that's not very nice of you, is it?
It's not very nice.
My whole point is, it seems to me that you're being very pompous, that you alone...
Look, the only reason I'm being very pompous...
The government should just tell us. You
the government
tell us
ought to.
What we need to know, and
but
we will decide
what to tell
the American people.
Look, I really know that what we're doing...
Look, I know what you're doing, Doug, and stop it.
What?
Quit making fun.
What do I do?
Wee-wee-wee-wee.
I mean,
you haven't heard that before, Camille, right? I apologize, dear.
That's all right.
I'm having a couple of laughs.
He has a right to his own opinion. I just thought it was.
I have a right to my what?
A right to my own opinion.
A right to my own opinion. Okay.
Yes, and I just.
I'm going to hang up on you, Doug, if you don't stop.
All right.
I just thought it was very pompous of you to decide that. Who are you? I don't know you from Adam. You may be
Doug
a journalist.
Ganger. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Okay,
as
so
a gay man
you may be, and
I'm
you
gay.
May be, you may be a
I'm
very
gay.
Good journalist at that. The point is, you know, we don't know if you have any credentials to do this job.
Are you gay? Are you gay?
No, I'm not.
Hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, the way you talk, I just.
You know, it cracks me up. All
yeah,
you people,
yeah, exactly.
All you liberal people, you talk about
liberal.
Parliament, and then you go, oh, you know, you make stereotypes and et cetera, et cetera.
Look,
my
the only time
problem,
I ever talk about Taoists is
what?
When I'm at the...
Okay, thank you very much, Camille. You've made some very good points. What are you trying to do?
I'm having a couple of laughs.
Having a couple of laughs, huh? We're talking about a deadly serious issue, national security, and there you are with Taoists.
She was was that Barbara Walters?
Yeah, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha.
Look, I'm a gay man.
You're a gay man and a gay journalist. I got it, and you keep secrets. Bob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, I'd like to make a quick point without being interrupted first. And
I need to know if you're gay.
Bob can jump in and
I just need to know if you're gay, that's all.
I'm not gay.
As far as you know, right?
I'm not gay at all.
As far as you know.
He answered your question.
I answered your question. I'll answer it again one more time since he seemed to be a little dense. I am not gay.
You don't have a lisp or anything?
Forget it. You made fun of the last lady.
Oh,
now, go ahead.
Who's stereotyping now?
You do. A lisp
means you're gay, does it? Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Let me make my point without interrupting, please. Now, I have a very simple point to make. If a gay man... and a gay journalist is so trustworthy that
see,
they will not conceal or reveal anything.
What did you just hear?
I heard him say twust.
He didn't
I said
say
trustworthy.
He said trustworthy, didn't say twust.
All right.
And again, you're interrupting.
You know I'm gay, right?
Yeah, you've said it about 68 times.
Yeah, we got it.
On the phone.
We got it.
Be quiet for 1 minute and let me make my point.
Go ahead.
Now, my point is very simple. You claim that because you are a gay man and a gay journalist, that you are more trustworthy than straight people.
That's correct.
You are making an assumption that gay people do not reveal anything, that gay journalists do not reveal anything that they feel they shouldn't reveal.
That's
my
right.
point is
That's
you
exactly
can only
right.
say that for yourself and no other gay journalist.
No, I can say that for me. I can say that for all gay journalists because we have been in the closet for a long time.
Let me finish my point.
We have been in the closet for a long time. Did you know that Rock Hudson was gay?
I don't care.
I bet you
already asked everyone that question.
What are you doing?
I want to finish my point before you jump in like an idiot. Now, let me finish my point.
Did you know Liberace was gay? You didn't know Liberace was gay either.
I don't care. Will you let me finish my point?
How about
before
Jim
you
J.
ask
Bullock?
That question
Forget about
again?
Jim J. Bullock and let the man finish his point.
Go ahead.
Now, my point is simple. If other gay people, other gay journalists, confided in you secrets, but did not confide it to the rest of the world, and they told you, which is just as bad as telling other people, and it's just as bad as. You can only speak for yourself. That means that they told.
What?
What? Yeah, if you don't understand the point, then you're more of an idiot than I thought.
1-800-449-8686.
And we will be in New York City next week doing our show Monday through Friday. We're going to be there at the Museum of Television and Radio. And we're really excited about going, and we want to continue to remind you of the fact that next week we'll be in New York because, you know, people are still just not traveling, and so much is going to change as the result of that. So much has changed already in the travel business and the airline. The airline business in this country will probably be changed forever. I mean, I heard that normal flight traffic won't be back up to normal until 2006. The pre-September 11th flight traffic and flight volume won't be back up till 2006. We just can't change the way the people that we are, is what I'm saying. We can certainly change the way we do business and change the way that we operate in terms of our own security, but we can't change who we are. Can't change being an American. You got to stay an individual and a people that enjoys traveling and enjoys, traveling about this country. And we're also planning an international trip next year. Because I'm just not going to, personally, I'm not going to be paralyzed. Now, this is just a decision that I made. And my wife and I were talking, and this was, I guess, about a month ago when we saw the, not really a month ago, it was a lot less, maybe 2-3 weeks ago when we saw the folks from Portland going to New York. I said, that is a very cool thing. And she said, well, why don't you do that? Because I'd been talking to her, and I said, I don't know what I could do for my country. I mean, what am I? I'm just a guy on the radio. She says, well, you can do stuff to do what the movie actors and the movie stars and all the entertainers in World War II did. You know, you encourage people to take certain kinds of action. So I said, okay, we'll go to New York. And I went to our folks here and said, I'd like to do a New York trip, and they jumped all over it. We want to go to New York, and we want to do the show there for a week, and we want to talk about the city and talk about the places we've seen and get people a little bit, you know, get people in motion a little bit, man. You know, like get them kind of unfrozen, because, like I said, everybody's sort of in a frozen defensive posture right now. And I know how it is. I mean, every morning you get up, and you're waiting for some other piece of bad news, right? Just like it'll never end. It's going to end. The good news is going to start. There will be good news. But right now, we're in that phase of any battle where you're knocked back on your heels a little bit. When you're not out looking for a fight, man, and you get tagged on the chin pretty good, it's easy to sit there and go, whoa, what happened? Because, your life is not conducted in an offensive or an aggressive manner. It's conducted in a way that hopefully respects people. So whether when you're disrespected, yeah, it comes as quite a shock. It's like the shock you get when someone's really angry and you go like, what got up their ass? You know, that's the kind of fog we've been in as a country and as a people. And so we have to react to it and deal with it. And we will. And the good news will visit us again. But in the meantime, somebody's got to make a move, baby. So I know a lot of you who travel for business, you're still out there. We have many people where I work who travel for business, travel as the sales arm of our syndication effort or the affiliate arm of our syndication effort. But the rest of us who've been used to traveling and who've pulled back, we need to now kind of, you know, put one little foot in the, you know, remember how Bill Murray and Ed Wood kind of put his foot in the water and swished around even though he had a shoe on? Just to check the temperature, and he had his whole shoe on. We have to kind of check the temperature. So we're looking forward to our trip to New York, and for a lot of different reasons, one of which is I'm attempting to score a couple of tickets to the theater, because my wife, you know, well, we have to go to the theater. I said, I know, but what do you want? You want me to get orchestra seats for the producers? I mean, that's a big hit thing. Oh, we can do, come on, go ahead, pull some strings, pull something. Just don't stand there, Henry, pull something. I said, okay. And then we've been promised a real Italian dinner in the real Little Italy, Brooklyn. So we're going to do that. and all the other things, all the other marvelous. I said last night, no way I go to New York without getting an Italian dinner, so that's going to happen. There's no way I go to New York without getting a real good steak dinner someplace. There's no way I go to New York without, you know, maybe quaffing a pint in a pub someplace and throw a few darts. There's no way that I go to New York and not, if I have time. I'm not a big museum guy, you know what I'm saying? To me, that's not where the city is. That's not where any city is. When I traveled to China 20 years ago, I was in China. 20 years ago this coming summer, I traveled through Beijing and Shanghai and a bunch of cities in China. And the kick for me was like walking down a street. Just walking down a street and walking into a store, walking into a barbershop. I'll never forget, I was walking down a street in Shanghai, China. And it was not uncommon for the Chinese to go, hello, hello, the hello. You'd hear the word hello everywhere because they were learning how to speak English. Well, then I'm walking down the street. I hear this guy, hey, you, hey, yo, come here. And it was a barbershop. And it was a barbershop with the old swinging Western saloon doors. He says, yeah, you come on in here. So I walked in and I sat down next to this old guy who was about in his, at that time, had to be in his 60s. And he remembered China from before the revolution. And we sat and proceeded to talk for like a half an hour. He wanted to know everything about me, where I was from, all this crap. Wanted to set me up with one of the barbers. It was a woman. All the barbers in China, by the way, they wear those surgical masks. And then he says, then I asked him about himself. He was in the import-export business, and then what they called the liberation. They don't call it the revolution. They call it the liberation in China took place. And then I'm here, and I'm sitting on my ass in this, barbershop every day. So we were rapping, man. To me, that was part of just an example of the experience. And I got called into, these people asked me to come into their home one night. I was walking through Beijing. And it was just a home, and in China, a lot of the neighborhoods are walled off. You go in through a wall, and then there's a lot of different residences. And I heard them say, yeah, you come on in, have a cup of tea. So I had a cup of tea with this family because they just had never seen what they call a European before. And I sat down and talked to these guys for a while, looking at their house. You know what the funny thing about the Chinese? There's like four things that they really, really, this was in 1982. It's probably really changed. But back then, the four things that they valued most than anything in life was a big thermos, a fan, a bicycle, and a TV set. That was when you knew you made it. If you had your TV, your fan, these big thermoses, because you could boil water and keep them in there, because the water ain't all that great in China. But, I mean, to me, that's the kick, you know, and I had a lot of experiences like that. I mean, I got a flat tire on the side of the road going to the Great Wall of China. Some dude comes sailing by on a 10-speed and hits the brakes. Just to see it, because the guy probably owned one of only like 10 speeds in the whole country of China, right? It was an old 10-speed racing bike. Most of the bikes you see in China, those real heavy set things. This guy turns around, comes back, and helped me change the flat. Because he saw another guy, and he saw this European guy sitting there off the side of the road with a flat tire. I don't know, just crap like that, you know? To me, that's the kick. So when you go someplace, walking down a street, going into a restaurant, listening to the conversation, going on the trains or wherever, whether it's New York or anywhere. That's the whole point of traveling. Going to a museum, hey, I ain't saying it's a bad thing, but, you know, that's for somebody else. Because when I was over in China, they said, today we're going to visit the Feng Chao Pagoda. It's 3,000 years old. I don't care. I mean, you've seen one pagoda, you've seen them all. You've seen one 3,000-year-old Buddhist temple, you know. Oh, I wanted to see the Great Wall of China and stuff like that, but to me it was like hanging with these people. So a trip to New York is not necessarily a trip to the New York Public Library or to any of the museums, although I know my wife's going to drag me to the Museum of Modern Art. I know what's going to happen, and I know it's, you know, a lot of places going to have to go to. But speaking of international, the Dracula theme park is going to open next year in Poland or Hungary. Where is it, Mike? It's in Romania. No, Bulgaria. Yeah. And we want to be the first show to do a live remote broadcast from the Dracula park, although something tells me we ain't going to be the ones to do it. You want to go? What do you? Craig just held up the sign Amsterdam. He wants us to do a remote from there. Yes, of course, Craig. Or, you know what we could do? We'll score some hash, sit in my house, and just put red bulbs in all the lights and all the lamps, and pretend like we're in Amsterdam. And we'll have some woman walk out naked, preferably not my wife or your girlfriend, if you don't mind. Anyway, our whole trip to New York, and the guys at Priceline.com have been fantastic. They are the official travel provider for airline tickets, hotel rooms, and rental cars for the Phil Henry Show. And if you are planning, like we have planned, to get up off your dead ass and do something about this whole travel thing, go to Priceline.com for all your travel needs today. And remember, at some point, you really do have to begin to separate fact from fiction and fear from reality. At some point, you really have to do that. There have been many planes in the air in this country since September the 11th. Not as many as there were in the air before September the 11th, but the fact is, I have had countless compatriots and colleagues flying back and forth between New York and Los Angeles, flying up and down the coast between L.A. and Canada or Miami and New York. Many, 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 many people are traveling to this day, to this moment, to this second, and they're fine. And everything is fine. And the planes are landing and they're taking off. And I know that we were traumatized. Well, and I'm not even saying that you got to get past the trauma, but at some point, like they say, man, you got to get on a freaking horse. What am I saying? Don't fly, go horseback. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry's Flashback.
Margaret, I have something to say.
Hello.
My uncle's at fireman up in New York City, and you don't know what you're talking about, saying he should have been in the 20th row.
Who?
My uncle's a NYPD fireman, NYFD, and you don't know what you're talking about. You go and say that when you've been on the backdraft exhibit at Universal Studios.
Yes. Have you been there?
Ma'am, I'm a volunteer fireman. Have you ever been in a burning down house smelling the flesh of a rotting baby?
Was it burning or rotting? Which was it?
Baby's flesh was on fire, and it's a smell like
but
you'll never smell
a
backdraft in
the,
Universal Studios.
The
you don't know what
was
you're talking about, you stupid idiot.
If the baby was rotting, then it was already dead. Okay, Dave from Houston called in, a real idiot.
Will you knock it off with your column?
Did you hear what this idiot said?
He's not an idiot. He's trying to make a point. So you're a volunteer firefighter, huh, Dave?
Yeah, sure.
For who?
I am.
For who?
Houston.
Dave, tongue-tied, had to come up with a quick answer because he's really not a volunteer firefighter.
Okay.
What makes you think he's really not
an idiot?
Are you a volunteer firefighter or are you just making that up to get on the air?
I'm a volunteer fireman.
Unconvincingly, he told me...
Will you forget your column?
Put me in your damn column. I hope you do. I'll tell my uncle to read it so we can call you and tell you you're an idiot, too.
I want your last name.
Don't give her your last name. Don't give her your last name. Don't do it.
I'm not as stupid as she is.
I'm stupid, am I?
You really are.
Dave, insulting as ever.
You're the most ignorant person I've ever talked to in my entire life, and I live in Texas. There's a lot of ignorant people down here.
Well, I'll second that.
Oh, man.
Where are you from? England? Why don't you go back to England?
Yes, I'm from England. England? I come from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, originally, and I have lived in Southern California for the last 31 years.
Well, there's your problem right there. Why don't you come down here to Texas? We'll stick that attitude right up your butt.
Dave, disguising his ignorance behind a veil of incredulity, said that it...
Well, are you writing a column now, or are you on my show?
Listen
hey, Phil.
To you.
Yes,
Phil,
sir.
Let her write a column about me. I really wish she would.
Then I need your last name.
Do not give her your last name, whatever you do, Dave.
Oh,
don't
worry. I'm not
because
giving her
the
my
next,
last
she'll
name.
Put your name in her column. Next thing you know, you get nothing but calls from weirdos for the rest of your life.
Like her right now?
No, I didn't call you, darling. You called me.
To pull a rebuttal against you for saying that going to Universal Studios in the backdraft is the same as going in a fire.
I've been told, because I went to the backdraft exhibit, that it was the same as going through a five-alarm warehouse fire started by a firebug.
Have you ever been in a fire where the temperature's raising about 400 or 500 degrees?
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
You get caught in a backdraft, and the backdraft singes the tip of your ears, and yet you don't know what you're talking about,
lady.
That's
what I'm trying to tell
you.
The backdraft exhibit is the same thing.
The backdraft exhibit, I've been in the backdraft exhibit, Dave. It isn't even close to being in a real fire. They light a bunch of fires, and you stand there like a jackball, and then you move on, and you get cotton candy. There's nothing at all.
Oh, listen to you. You know, you're such an expert on everything. Mr. Henry, pretending like he's an expert.
If you keep writing that column, I'm hanging up.
So you don't
Phil, I hope she does write her damn column.
He doesn't believe in the free press. Listen, do you know who Ron Howard is? I interviewed Ronnie Howard. It was when he was playing Richie Cunningham on Happy Days. And he said if he ever did become a director, he would make...
Maybe he'd make a movie like Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad he is a director. But you know what? He's not a fireman. So I'm telling you that Backdraft...
All right, let me ask you something. If such a big fireman, what do you use to put out fire with? Simple question, Dave.
You used to put out a fire?
Yes. What do you use?
You hook up a fire hose to a fire hydrant, and it blows on the fire.
Blows what?
Water.
Very well. Okay, you got me there.
Oh, get out of here.
Bill Henry.
The voice of Margaret and the voice of Doug Danger and the voice today of the other characters performed by me. And the people who called in were real people who thought they were talking to real people. And that's how the Phil Henry Show works. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, those two U.S. helicopters that came under fire in Pakistan as their crews attempted to retrieve the wreckage of another helicopter that had crashed during a covert weekend commando raid, they didn't lose their wheels. I don't know if you heard about it. But they had to leave without retrieving the wreckage of this helicopter that had crashed. Well, in any event, some of these choppers involved in some of this operation, some of them have lost their wheels for whatever reason. So the Afghanis are on TV showing the wheels, saying, we shot down these helicopters. Now, you know, if you shoot down a helicopter, I want to give you all the credit in the world, all right, pal? But you don't hold up a wheel and say, look, see, we shot it down. But these guys are coming up with every load of baloney. We're using chemical weapons. They're shooting down our helicopters. And they're using our words against us. For instance, yes, it's a war on Islam. We say, this is not a war on Islam. We just want you to, aha, so it's a war on Islam. Well, okay, yeah, you got us there, man. Your logic is indisputable. And we say that we are not targeting civilians. So therefore, you are targeting civilians. It seems like they're targeting civilians. We ought to just keep our mouths shut. I am telling you, we ought to just close our big fat bazoos, because everything that comes out of our mouths, you know, they're taking and they're turning it into some kind of a propaganda or opportunity or a photo op. Annetta, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi there, first time caller.
How's it going?
Okay, pretty good. Real quick, I heard you a couple Fridays ago make a comment about traveling. You said we should all go to Mexico, down to Cabo, and I had a trip coming up to Cabo tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
I prayed about it. I said, give me a sign. It's okay. I tuned into you, and I heard you say, go to Cabo, and I wanted to let you know I was leaving tomorrow.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and guarantee that you will get to Cabo and back again to your home without any problems.
Well, I feel confident, and I thought about it, but I just want to say I'd rather die a free woman than cowering in my home in the corner paralyzed by fear, and I hope other people get out and enjoy life and...
Well, that's what they're trying to do to us. You know, this is a new generation. This generation is new to war. We've never been attacked this way. We've never been threatened this way. And we're all kind of sitting there going, it's kind of like somebody saying, man, I'm a nice guy. Why would anybody hate me?
Absolutely.
You know, and so, yeah, we have to get that kind of a aggressive attitude going.
You know, my mother was born into World War II, and I asked her, and for the first time she spoke about it after September 11th, and she shared her life with me the first 4 or 5 years of her life running to and from bomb shelters.
Where was she born?
She's from Germany.
Wow.
But despite that, you know, she said life goes on. And
those bombs that were being dropped on her were Americans, too.
Exactly. But, you know, she was one of the first ones on the plane after September 11th.
She was one of the first people flying. Beautiful.
She got on the plane and came to Kansas City to visit her grandchildren.
Well, there's a whole lot of folks that you know are flying and flying subsequent to September the 11th. So we're glad you're one of them, Annetta. And like I said, we're going to New York next week. And if there's any other radio shows out there that want to grow a pair, you let us know, okay?